wife and I...
Sir, I need your name and address, please.
Give my name first. I'm Paul Croft. Okay. My wife and I moved down here in...
Your address is? Your address is?
Oh, 30764 Connolly's Chapel Road.
Thank you.
We're three houses up removed from the west side of this project.
That's good. Thank you. Okay.
We did move down here in April of 06. We picked Connolly's Chapel area because it was residential. Nice lots, big lots. And in fact, we have 2.25 acres. But my deed says I can't subdivide. Mm-hmm. But why should we have a builder come in here and be able to put 4 per acre? I mean, that's right down the road. Connolly's Chapel is not a straight road by any means. It's a very curving road, very narrow. The culverts, like they said, on either side. And even if the builder paid to widen that and turn it Connolly's into an interstate, Route 23 and 24 are still one lane each. And in the summertime, they're overloaded. What are they going to be with the additional traffic coming in and out of this place? If there's 2 or 3 cars per house, it's going to be 300 or 400 cars, plus trucks, delivery trucks, school buses. And this has been mentioned before, but I worry about what's going to do to my water supply, the water aquifer that's under all the properties in that area. The other thing, I think that knowing how these houses look down there, they're all individually built. Chapel Green is a very nice development, very small, though, not a whole lot of houses. But the way this is going to look, I think, will look a lot like an army camp with cookie-covered houses. And that's the way it's going to look from the road. And that can't possibly make property values go up. If anything, they're going to take the other direction. I guess that's pretty much all I want to say. Most of it's probably been answered. I just want to voice my concerns.
All right, sir. And we thank you. We thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Here comes the messenger. Okay, I'm glad you wrote it down. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi.
Name is?
My name's Jocelyn Robinson. I'm Lou Robinson's daughter. The address is 31017 Connolly's Chapel Road. I was born and raised across from that property.
Wonderful.
I have several concerns. I'm not the best public speaker, so just bear with me.
You know what? You're doing a great job. I think you might be a natural.
I'm definitely not, trust me.
You keep going, and we'll let you know when you're done.
Okay. I feel that this property, without community sewer or water, the soils on this property and the hydrology is absolutely horrible for development. And without community water and sewer, this would not be developable in the first place.
Okay, well, they're going to have water and sewer.
Right, right. I'm just going to...
You're just telling us if they didn't have it, it would be
yes.
Really lousy. Okay.
Yes. I wanted to ask the county if they supported private wastewater regionalization. And I wanted to ask the developer if they had a letter from Denrec saying non-binding feasibility about the feasibility of the wastewater.
I'll find that out for you.
I also see that the average acre lots on this proposed housing development are for about 1/5 plus minus acres, and your preference in the Sussex County Code is for 2-to-1, 2 acres per 1 acre preference. On the online code, I believe?
Well, that's the density, but it isn't necessarily a preferred lot size. But I can see how that might be confusing. What the applicant testified to was that they had lots that were as small as 7,800, which is less than 1/5, up to about 20,000 square feet, which is not quite half an acre, but probably more smaller ones than bigger ones would be my guess if you look at the drawing.
Right. I just feel that this project, the cluster housing development, doesn't benefit our area. There are already enough choices of cluster housing around for those who choose to have that sort of development. I also wanted to ask about the nutrient management plans, if they have proposed a nutrient management plan for the stream nearby, because right now the property is benefiting the environment. So. I wanted to ask about that. And then I also wanted to address the issue of the endangered swamp pink flower that is known to frequent this area on the list of endangered species. And, I think that's about it. Oh, and also the property to widen the road. Mm-hmm. My parents own the property across from this, and how much property would that take? Like, that's a big issue.
I think that's all taking place within the state right away, but we'll find out for sure. I don't know that they're having to take any property from anybody to do that, but we'll find out here in a second.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and you did a great job, I'm telling you. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Good job. No applause. We're not allowed to clap. Just smile and nod, wave, get an autograph on your way out. Mr. Lardner, the young lady does bring up a good point, and I'd like you to, to address them, if you would.
Absolutely. Some of the soils on this site are not feasible for development. That's correct. That's why they're located in the wetlands and low-lying areas of which we're preserving and not developing upon. The other soils on this site are good to moderate soils for development, and therefore that's why they're upland areas, and therefore we can develop on those. As far as the soil feasibility study goes, one is not required for this subdivision because there will be no on-site either individual or community system located on this property, so therefore a soil feasibility study or any other requirement for Denrec to sign off on one is not required.
Okay.
You've addressed the 2 dwelling units per acre nutrient management plan. That is required as part of the pollution control strategy, and as I've gone on the record several times before, I'll say it again, we will meet the pollution control strategy, which will also include the nutrient management plan as required. I believe it's Section 5. Please don't quote me on that part of the code.
Okay.
I will have to defer to the reports that were submitted either from JCM Environmental and or the Denrec section of Heritage and Endangered Species as far as the endangered swamp pink flower. It's in the report as far as what is or is not there and what the habitat may or may not exist. As far as widening the road, there is sufficient right away on Conley's Chapel Road, 60 feet. However, when we get into the protected left turn lanes and deceleration lanes, there's not enough right away. All that will be required to come onto our site to obtain that right away. We cannot go and take right away, and Delta cannot condemn it for the benefit of the development. So those any right away, in addition to what they've requested, will come onto our site.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. All the way over here. Okay.
My name is Carrie Price. I live at 31091 Beaver Circle and Beaver Dam Acres.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And thank you for allowing me to speak.
For showing up.
One of my concerns is that if this project is allowed to be built, it's going to drive me nuts. I say that with some levity, but I also mean it figuratively because I think of all the dust and construction and all of that kind of thing. And one of the reasons that Marie and I love living there at Beaver Dam Acres is because it's so quiet. So what I'm doing is giving you personal opinion here because I don't have the statistics that Henry does or Dean does or that kind of thing. But I really enjoy this area, and we've been there nearly 10 years. And it's just I love the outdoors, the birds, and everything that is presented with the property that we have there. I would like to talk about the salamanders just a little bit.
Okay.
I have seen salamanders on my deck. I have a deck there, sir. Mr. Lank, he was talking.
Is it part of your dwelling?
I think so. It's attached.
Right.
We don't live there.
But we don't count the square footage. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
What about the salamanders?
Well, the salamanders, I have seen these pink salamanders during the summertime, and spring and toward the fall. It's interesting, though. I've seen a lot of different colored salamanders out there, and I think they do change colors. And so, but it's in the summertime, not in January, like they were looking for them, I think, in January. Was that it? Yeah. It's just kind of a curiosity thing.
It's kind of strange.
Yes. Just a little bit. But I think I can speak for at least all the Beaver Dam Acres folks is that we really like it there. It's quiet, and we have nice lots, and we don't have really great big houses. But we would like to maintain the little bit of value that we still have. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for giving up your Thursday night to be with us. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Last but not least, probably. I'm Patty Bechera. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association in Chapel Green. And I want to address something on the practical side.
Okay.
First of all, the values of the houses are going down. We all know that. In Chapel Green, we have houses that are on the market over a year now. We can't get rid of them. We've had houses go into bankruptcy because they couldn't be sold. We've had to put liens on homes because of these problems. We also have Oakwood Estates on the Will King side. We have two entrances. One is Conley Chapel. The other is on Will King. Oakwood Estates started 2-3 years ago, and we are still looking, and we have the same problem the people at Beaver Dam are going to have. Our entrance and theirs are face-to-face.
Right.
And all we're looking at are empty lots, heavy-duty equipment, and I think they have maybe 2 or 3 homes in there right now. It's an eyesore, and it doesn't seem to be moving. Now, in lieu of the fact that we have that development not making any headways, we have our homes not selling, I don't understand the need for 162 more down the street. And I think you should consider that when you make your decision, that there are these poor people across the street are probably going to look at the same mess we're looking at. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Tyler, long time no see. Where you been?
You guys have been doing a good job. I didn't have to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, that means a lot coming from you. So go right ahead.
I'm serious. My name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. I live in Lewis, but I bicycle a lot on those roads. I know them well. In fact, Dorman Road is one of the few hills I have to go down. Just for the people who are concerned about traffic, that development will generate anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 cars a day at build out. Just, it's not a few hundred, it's 1,000 to 1,500, especially with children and what have you. So rest assured, those numbers could even be higher. I do have a statement. Actually, listening to what the applicant gave, I was just thinking of the emperor's new clothes for some reason or other. It seemed like what I was reading wasn't the same thing that they were reading, or what I was interpreting wasn't what they were interpreting. So you're going to have to suffer through some of my interpretations here and then take it for what it's worth.
You have the floor, sir. Go ahead.
The woods at Burton's Pond presents a dilemma that you and many citizens of Sussex have wrestled with for years. The dilemma simply is how to preserve and protect what makes Sussex County desirable and natural against a developer who appears to care less about the environment and more about his profit. Further complicating the issue is that, by and large, this site is not suited for development, or at least development to the degree that this one will impose on the community, if not only the residents, but the wildlife and the forest. I know you're aware of the comments of the State Office of Planning and Coordination, and most of them are critical. And if you read the responses, though, at least the ones that I read from Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, one could read, as the saying goes, silence gives consent, because their responses, they acknowledged, but they didn't do anything to mitigate some of these things. Now, I am pleased with some of the things that Davis, Bowen, and Friedel have done, especially with stormwater management. You know, I'm very anti-stormwater management ponds because, as the people who were up here earlier were saying, you know, they're mosquito attractors, they collect dirt and crap and junk. But this engineering firm knows how to do bioswales and bioretention locations, okay? I mean, they have expertise in that area, and I would think that we should try to, I don't know, I'd like to see the county make an ordinance that says only at last resort should a stormwater management pond be placed. I mean, the comprehensive plan says, well, if it's for recreational uses or whatever, but, you know, open space is much better when you can walk on it rather than to have to walk through it or navigate through debris and junk. Well, the application raises too many questions, and I reviewed 99C as well. And, of course, it says it shall include consideration. And here are some of the things that I've seen. Number one, I don't think the proposed subdivision is well integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape because it's going to devastate the forest and the surrounding wetlands and environment. It ain't going to be the same. It doesn't preserve the natural historical features of the site, as noted in the plus. It says, that, I like the plus comments, that the site will become a residential woods, which severely fragment the forest. That was their comment. The open space is not contiguous. Now, in the comprehensive plan, it says narrow open space shall not be permitted. Well, I don't know. Some of that narrow open space looks pretty narrow. The open space is not contiguous, nor does it offer any special qualities as open space. You know, they talked about this book. I don't know if you've read it. I've read it. It's called Community Spaces, Natural Spaces, A Guide to Restoration, Management, and Maintenance of Community Open Space. This is a good book. I don't think they're even aware it exists. Plus comments said they should refer to it. The degree of tree and vegetation removal alone ignores 99C, which implies that the development should minimize such removal. Keep in mind, the forest is a natural oxygen-producing facility. By absorbing carbon dioxide, trees and forests provide a critical element essential to the quality of life. It's called oxygen. Remove trees, you remove oxygen. It's, you know, this is one of the last stands or one of the larger stands of forest that we have in that area. And to remove that, I think, will certainly have a negative impact. You've heard that I agree that it will negatively impact property values of neighboring communities who share in the rural nature of the area. Cluster developments really would be more properly suited to infrastructure. Roads, public transportation, and utilities will all be negatively impacted by this development. And I believe, as others have stated, that it is going to be incompatible with other area land uses. A ride around the area will tell you that. Probably the most critical considerations that you can evaluate is how this development will affect the area waterways. Drainage to Burton Pond is under attack, and we've seen it time and time again. Conley's Chapel goes into Burton's Pond, which flows into Burton's Prong, which joins Hopkins Prong to form Herring Creek, which in turn flows into the fragile inland bays. I mean, we saw this with that reserve at Love Creek. You know, we asked everybody to consider the headwaters of Love Creek and how it's going to affect. Well, how much of this cumulative impact is going to continue to degrade our inland bays? You degrade the inland bays, people won't want to live here. You degrade the waterways, people won't want to live here. So we're trying to maintain this.
That'll solve the whole development problem right there.
Yeah, it will. But why should we do that?
Heck of a way to do it, isn't
it? Yeah. When we're, you know, we've all moved here because we enjoy Sussex County. I mean, I'm a newcomer. I've only been here 18 years, and I've been in Delaware, as you know, 43 years. But that doesn't mean a darn thing. I like Delaware. These are some of my comments against 99C, but here are some of the concerns that the Citizens Coalition Board raised and we've discussed. The application is in level 4, an area which, according to strategies for state policies and spending development on this site as proposed, is inappropriate. According to the comp plan, it is in a designated low-density area, another reason for concern for making it inappropriate. It's understandable why the state is opposed to this application, and we concur. Second item, the loss of precious forest land and the creation of impervious surface will significantly compromise the integrity of our rapidly vanishing environment, animal habitat. I wish the animals could come and talk, because they're losing all the time, and water resources. Considering the effect of losing, I figured 68 acres of forest land. Now, nobody's told me how many acres are going to get chopped down, but I bet you 60-some acres are going to get removed. One of the largest intact forest lands in the area. It will impact adjacent wetlands, pollutant runoff into stream system that flows directly into Inland Bay, and it will disrupt contiguous natural habitat. That is the biggest concern that we have and we're facing. How many deer are going to be killed and how many people are going to be hurt in injuries because we're losing this contiguous path, this greenway for animals and nature to travel? I mean, on my bike, I see dead raccoons all the time, you know, because they got to get across the road. Maintaining natural features becomes increasingly critical as the development machine continues to destroy and fragment our precious natural forest lands. This cluster development application is not appropriate compared with less dense, less intrusive development. In fact, this development is more closely designed to what Randall Arendt would call a conventionally designed subdivision, or what has been labeled, and somebody mentioned it, a cookie-cutter development. It's not superior to an open space development design. I'm not convinced that our county's cluster development plan is aimed to preserve open space. I'm sorry. But regardless of my perception, listen to what Mr. Arendt says. I'll wave this at you again. This is my favorite book. Whoops. Designing Open Space Developments. He was here, and I was here when he came here and presented that. Mr. Arendt says, in its purest form, the term open space design refers to a residential developments where, as in golf course communities, half or more of the buildable land is designated as individual permanent open space. This result is typically achieved in a density-neutral manner. Density-neutral means that the overall number of dwellings allowed is not less than it would be in a conventional layout as zoned. That said, however, this clustering is really not in the character with the surrounding communities. Further, if you read the comprehensive land use update on community design criteria, page 330, I believe this application fails to comply with what the plan requires. The plus comments of December 2006 point to consequences that no doubt have long-term negative effects on Sussex County. Listed among the growth and preservation goals of the new comp plan use plan, are concerns, in quotes, to direct development to areas with or near community services. This development doesn't meet that goal. Another goal of our new plan is to protect critical natural resources. This development offends wise land use and will eliminate contiguous forest land for habitat and jeopardizes the inland bays with impervious surface and runoff. Another stated goal, in quotes, ensure new developments incorporate usable open space at best and best design practices. Without a doubt, this application fails to meet these goals. I wonder why those people are in those houses on the other end there. They, you know, somebody asked, how do you get from there to, well, they're going to defile the wetlands. They're going to mess up some more lands to get to where they have to get because they want to get to the swimming pool, which is a half a mile from their house or more. As I stated at the outset, this application should be denied in its current configuration. I believe a suitable use for the land might be made that would have fewer residences, less impervious surface, and more open space. Further, I believe it is time, and this is probably not in your purview, to propose an ordinance that puts developments of this magnitude and scope on hold, on a waiting list, because the backlog of more than, 26,000 homes that we have, is, you know, until that is significantly reduced, I think, you know, we're fighting an uphill battle and we're going to be suffering the consequences that you and I don't even know yet. So much, and I will hand this in for the record. Thank you for your time.
And thank you, sir. Okay, anyone else wish to speak? One more time. Okay. Okay. You've been very patient, so now's your time.
Well, I'm Mark Maston. My address is 25362 Hollis Road, Harbison.
Okay.
But the reason I'm up here is because friends of mine live in Beaver Dam Acres, and I've gotten to know that area quite well. I know probably half of the neighbors in that development. And actually, I knew the gentleman who started it back in, I think it was like 74 or 75, Mr. Roland Bunning, because I actually put a deposit on the lot back then and never went through, got another place. But I believe there are like 44 lots in that development, and right now there are 21 houses, and that's all that have been built in there since 1975. I would say probably about six of those lots are not buildable because of it's just low ground. I know two lots besides those other six that they have filled in and are trying to let the dirt settle so that they can build on them. And so when you're thinking about that, you're really seeing how low the ground is and what the ramifications are of the topography of that area. And it can't be that much different on the other side. When you start getting into looking at pictures like this where everything looks all nice and green and everything, but where you're going to start impacting some of those areas. It can, I know in that development in Beaver Dam where they filled in, it impacts the next lot. And I think you're all aware of that. You know, your runoff goes in a different direction. And I'm just kind of concerned about what the impact's going to be if they have to fill in certain areas. And when you put that many houses that close together, you know it's going to impact the surrounding land. Even if they're leaving it natural, that's going to come into play like that. So it was just kind of something I've observed in Beaver Dam Acres, and I just thought, well, I'll throw that in.
All right, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, last call. All right, anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we're going to close the public hearing, and we're going to take a 5-minute recess so you can clear out and I can get a drink of water.